If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Social media plays a big role in covering protests and civil unrest, and actually, if you ask me, it also has a big role in perpetrating those activities, and also false information. People turn to it for different reasons, different people, different ways, and what happened in Chicago this time is no exception, and here to talk about that is social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, it's really something to be able to watch these types of events unfold in real time. Yep. Especially when it's on your doorstep. Do you have any general sense as to how this event unfolded on social media?
Yeah, John. People really started to become aware of what was happening when they saw the words caravan. They started to hear the descriptions of a caravan of 40 to 50 cars headed downtown. And it's that word that would become such a big part of the event because the terms Chicago caravan and Chicago looting were trending on Twitter. And the key is it wasn't just locally in Chicago, it was nationally. So this quickly had a national audience. And it really started to unfold when video of the caravan and the looters themselves started to be shared by big and small accounts. And, you know, you've reported on that as we've gone through this whole thing. I watch most of this happening on Twitter, but I also know that it was being shared a lot on other platforms like Facebook and Instagram.
And with social media or anything on the internet, you have to take it with a grain of salt, right? I hope we've learned that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have people posting unfounded things and rumors, and how are we supposed to know what's happening?
Yeah, you're so right, John. In many cases, you know, the mayhem itself on social media actually adds to the mayhem of the crime itself. So on one hand, you have police that are trying to distill the information. You have people everywhere trying to understand what's happening. And then some people on social media have a whole ulterior motive going on. They want to see the police fail. So you get people posting fake stuff on purpose. So you have all of these things being thrown at you from all these different directions. Now, being able to sort through it is all part of the job. And, you know, people who do social media, whether it's someone like me, whether it's a journalist, whether it's the police, it's really everyone. And you really have to know how to disseminate that information.
These instances are fueled at some point by other events sometimes, and that's what happened here, right? I mean, for as horrible as the event was, it wasn't entirely a surprise to the police, right? I mean, they had a sense that something could be brewing. Am I correct?
Yes, that's exactly right, John. I mean, city officials said that the origin started to show on social media after the officer-involved shooting in Englewood. And more than an hour after the shooting, you know, there was this crowd of people and they were faced off against the police near the scene. And what happened at that point is the part that's the most interesting. Authorities said that someone fed false information to the angry group, and they said that the shooting involved a child. And so this became a really tense situation. Eventually, the situation cooled. People started to disperse. But then all of a sudden, you start to see the messages appearing on social media encouraging people to head downtown. And it's at this point where everything, you can trace everything back to the beginning right there.
And yeah, we're talking about false information. And that's a problem, whether we're online or in a crowd facing off with the police, obviously, right?
Absolutely. I talk with Bob all the time about the need for us to control the spread of misinformation. It is one of those things that keeps me up at night because the consequences can be dangerous. And this is truly a real life version of that. So people started spreading false rumors in a crowd of people. People began sharing that info. Meanwhile, anger grows towards the police. And then people, now they're armed not only with that information, but they're armed with anger. So they had the anger. Now they have this information. They start to head downtown, and we end up, you know, as you reported, you know, more than 100 arrests and people being shot, and obviously damages to businesses that are just painful to look at. Misinformation didn't cause the problem, but it fuels and it makes everything worse. And I'll add that just a few minutes ago, there are people posting on social media that this was obviously some kind of coordinated event from a national standpoint that has to do with politics, that it has nothing to do with a local shooting. Instantly now you have more misinformation that's out there. So it's just painful to watch that.
Well, law enforcement says it was not an organized protest. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, you're absolutely correct. But that's the power of social media. You don't have to take a lot of time to organize and plan. Sometimes you just need a few posts and a retweet.
Yeah. What? I shouldn't laugh at it, but you're right. So what do we do? What can we learn?
Well, it's a very good question. As the mayor said yesterday, there's no justification for this type of behavior. And that's fine for her to say. She can say that all she wants. But people are angry. They associate anger with the right to act out. And that's what, you know, you've been reporting on and what everybody's been saying. But from a purely social media standpoint, police are going to be working overtime to watch for any signs of further unrest. And it's like we were saying before about misinformation. I can guarantee you that people want to throw people off and cause trouble. So there, you're going to see posts about fake marches. You're going to see posts about more plans of unrest coming tonight. And the police have to sort through what's fake and what's real. And we all have to sort through what's fake and what's real.
Well, good luck with that, everybody. I mean, I don't know how that would be done, first of all. Who would be designated as the oracle of reality that you would turn to in a situation like that to verify what you're seeing? And much of what we're talking about here and last night, we're talking about a visceral reaction to it. We're talking about, it's like yelling fire in a crowded theater almost. I don't know if that analogy works or not, but you're putting out something that's going to get an immediate reaction, and there's not going to be a point where most of us will say, is that true or false? I mean, is there a way to verify that stuff?
That's the danger. That's such a good point. That's the danger of misinformation. That's where a smart social media user has to say, who do I trust? Who do I know? Who are the people who are regularly telling me the right thing? That's where police have to look and they have to see, is this a reputable person? Is this something we've looked at before? Or is this someone who just has some kind of skin in the game who just wants to watch the mayhem unfold? It's one of the most difficult things we have to do today on social media. But the thing is, we do it less and less, and the less we do it, the worse things become.
Plus, there's so many different avenues for social media.
Absolutely.
I don't even know if I can list them all. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Yep. I mean, it goes on and on and on. How in the world can we, as human beings, sift through all that and discern what's real and not real, especially when some people who are perpetrating falsehoods for whatever reason, and I'm not talking about trying to encourage violence or anything, I'm thinking more along the lines of trying to sway your opinion about something. The graphics and the copy are totally real. It's been put together by an expert, which, of course, in the digital age, it's a lot easier to manufacture false images, let alone false content. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I know you.
I totally do.
Because you are Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist. Thanks for being with us this morning, Scott.
Thanks for having me on, John. I appreciate it.